Welcome to the Westwood Church Podcast. I'm Molly Vetter, the senior pastor at Westwood. I'm glad you've chosen to listen in to this sermon from our sanctuary. Please know, you're always welcome to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 10. Our sanctuary is a sacred, stained glass lit space. There, prayers, pipe organ, and choir mark sacred time when we get to refocus our lives around the gift of God's radical, inclusive love. We're a church committed to justice, kindness, and walking humbly with God. So thank you for listening in today. We encourage you to share and subscribe to the podcast, and also invite you to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Most of all, we encourage you to join us in the living out of our faith for the sake of God's love.
I'm delighted to be here in this beautiful sanctuary with good friends, that is to say, your staff folks, and I will attempt to bring you a word on this really interesting day, because Transfiguration Sunday is not in your list of favorite feasts, is it? No gifts to exchange, no rolling eggs on the lawns, not even black-eyed peas and collard greens as on New Year's Day. So it's an interesting feast, and here we are just a few days before Lent begins. As a friend of mine said, yes, thank God for Mardi Gras in between. So here we are, this transfiguration. What on earth, dear friends, are we to make of it, we who live in this world, where all the visions we have are actually on TV or in the films? I must say that I'm always a bit with fear and trembling when I come to this, because the vision is so strange to us. And yet you heard the word from Exodus. Moses was up there already, and there was another vision earlier. And Matthew and Mark, who also tells almost exactly the same story in Mark chapter 9, were very much aware of this notion of Moses ascending and being caught in a bright cloud of glory. But here we are on a hike with Jesus. Didn't expect, got invited, went up, and there is mystery. There is the bright cloud that descends, and there's this conversation going on between Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Strange stuff. And then it sort of disappears. And as the text says, and all they saw was Jesus. Wouldn't you be bewildered too? If there is mystery here, there is also misunderstanding, just like we know in our world. Well, maybe none of you have misunderstood anybody. Maybe you've never misunderstood your own experience. But I'm telling you, there's a lot here about the connection between mystery and brilliance and dazzlement and misunderstanding. It's in the text. I'm not making this up. The strangeness of it all. There is mystery but misunderstanding. I suspect that Peter and James and John went on this hike thinking this was going to be good. Jesus is going to tell us some more good things about what we're supposed to do. But instead, this bright, dazzling cloud descended. And as especially Mark's account says, they were terrified. They were scared silly. In fact, it even says, and Peter was speechless. Now, that's a bit of a miracle in itself from what we know about Peter in the Gospels. Peter, speechless, are you kidding? And we remember, Peter immediately is kind of like, the Dalai Lama is a member of our faculty at Emory University. And I remember going to hear him one time, and a friend of mine was there and said, wow, let's take a selfie with the Dalai Lama. Afterwards, I asked the person, what did the Dalai Lama say? I don't know, but I've got a selfie of it. This is exactly what Peter did, you know? He says, oh, Lord, this is so special. I think I would like to build three tents here, or dwellings, or booths. So there's something about Peter that immediately, maybe because it was too beyond his ordinary experience, maybe because he didn't understand what Jesus was saying to him, much less this vision. Well, let's stay here. It's really good here. Let's take a selfie. That's the kind of way I think of Peter's misunderstanding here. But what strikes me here is that when something overwhelms us, has this not happened to you? When something overwhelms you, you either become speechless or you talk in odd ways about it. This happens when you hear great music. And by the way, you must have really good music in this place, if this is any sampling this morning, and the kids too. But remember the first time you heard Bach's B minor Mass, and it took your breath away, and you couldn't say. When you hear music so deeply, as T.S. Eliot once said, that you are the music while the music lasts, and you can't say. It's like you understand something, but you can't say what it is you understand. Or it's like meeting someone who so profoundly influences your life that you can't say it all. Or perhaps it's like this. Someone says to you long ago, maybe your grandmother, maybe a wise elder in the Black community, says, child, the world's going to break your heart. And you didn't understand it at the time at all. And then 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, someone reminds you of that. And then you say, oh, that's what she meant. You couldn't grasp it at the time. But later, you fully understood. If you were in a certain community, you might say, oy vey, I know now. So it's like this with us, isn't it? At least it's like this with me. So I stand up here and confess that there are experiences I've had that I cannot articulate and maybe couldn't until much, much later. That's what we're talking about in this mountain hike in which Jesus is dazzled and transfigured. So Peter's response is a very human response. And some of you may recall that just a couple of Sundays ago, there was the incident at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked who he was, you remember? And finally, Peter blurted it out, well, you're the Messiah. And immediately he misunderstood. In fact, one of the harshest things ever coming from Jesus' mouth is a response to Peter. When Peter didn't understand that Jesus was saying, and this Messiah must suffer and die and be handed over to authorities to be crushed under political tyranny and religious bigotry. Yes, Peter didn't understand that either. So maybe there's a connection here. Who do we understand Jesus is? And yet there is this glory, this extraordinary experience, this dazzling vision that we barely can take in. Now, sometimes, isn't this way with you? Sometimes when you've heard the great music, seen the great art, been around a person of great love and justice, you carry that vision with you until the opportune time. And I think that's what Jesus had in mind when he said, be quiet now about this. I'm not making it up. It's in the text. Don't tell anybody, he says, coming down from the mountain. So sometimes, isn't it that way? You must be restrained and have some sense of silence about the mystery until the time is right. And I think that's what's going on here in Matthew and going on in Mark too. A glimpse of glory, a teasing taste of what we miss, the possibility of a world transfigured, transformed, rearranged, so that our poor understanding of it is taken up into something else, beyond us, transcendent, as we say. And here we are, you and I, in the midst of our daily routines, in the midst of our all too common assumptions about the world, politically, socially, economically, about ourselves, Oh, and by the way, do you ever fully understand yourself? The older I get, the less I understand about myself. I want someone to reveal to me what it is this mortal life is, and where we're bound, and why finally there is something as glory and bedazzlement and transformation, transfiguration. I want someone, please, someone to say it's going to be okay. I want a Dame Julian of Norwich to say again, all manner of things shall be well. It won't always be like this. Here we live in the gap between the world as it is and the world as it ought to be. The world as God dreams it and pictures it. So this Sunday, this transfiguration mystery not only breeds misunderstanding. We don't know who you are, Jesus, until we are transformed and transfigured by your suffering, death, and resurrection. So it is, you and I, crawling here in the puzzlement and bewilderment of our world, hoping it might be so, that there is such a thing as this, that there is such a thing that is pictured, you see Sunday by Sunday in this beautiful space, this transfiguration in the middle of the window. Could this strange incident, with its antecedent in the Exodus story of Moses, have something to say to us here and now, in this place, in this time? Could it be like a teasing taste of glory beyond our understanding that may, in the long run, answer the most fundamental human questions we have? Who are we? Where are we going? Are we indeed, as the old song says, bound for glory? Or for just the end of something? Well, I want to suggest that it does, even though it's not like other feasts that have special foods and special gifts. But we have a story, and Peter's bewilderment, and Jesus saying, hush, for now, it will be revealed to you. Quite frankly, I don't like that. I'd rather have my answer now on my terms. Anyone here like that? Maybe not. Maybe you've already become to perfection. I don't know. Some people claim this, unfortunately, but that's another matter. I'm not going to preach that sermon about people claiming too much about their own brilliance and their own understanding. I think the story does hold a clue for us. And it has everything to do with who we are and what we shall yet be, and what this tired, difficult world shall be transformed into. But there was some other thing here going on, because at the end of the story, when they looked up and the dazzling vision was gone, it was only Jesus hanging around, he did say to them, listen. Listen to me, or rather, shall we say, the voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved, listen to him. And some people have, and some people did. Dorothy Day did. Oscar Romero did. Mother Teresa did. Martin Luther King did. J.S. Bach did. And a whole bunch of other smart cookies in other climates and other times have taken seriously what God said from the cloud. Listen to him. Follow him. Follow him into the ambiguities of your life. And you will begin to understand what it means to call him Messiah. I think that's true. And the world seems to go on. But these people who listen, and even Peter who misunderstood, finally listened, didn't he? He didn't become the most successful person on earth, but he became the one, he became the odd rock on which the church was founded. Don't you wish you had some evidences from John and the other disciple? Yeah, I think we could say we do have some evidences. Because what that odd little band of brothers and sisters, let's not forget Mary and the women, they heard too and found that the mystery that was on the mountain is the mystery down here in the mud flaps after we descend. I can scarce take it in, this mystery of God with us like this. This epiphany, this vision, well, to put it in a humorous way, should make us epiph. We who listen, and there are some in this very sanctuary who know you have listened and you're ready to follow. You can't stay with your selfie on the mountain all the time. Down you come, down from the vision, but carrying the impact of the vision you don't quite understand with you. Isn't that the way it is, at least with some of you? And I'm just standing here confessing that this is the way it is with me. So, mystery and misunderstanding, but finally, the Messiah goes with us down the mountain and into all the fragilities and ambiguities of our lives. And I don't have to stand here and remind you of the ambiguities of our life. Can it be that even the world could be transfigured, even our fragilities? I think so. But not by standing on the mountain, taking selfies, or building three tabernacles. So, in the Transfiguration, we see the divine light. The divine light that has been there from the beginning. The divine light by which we see anything at all. It has come. And come surprisingly and shockingly and so beautifully in the form of a human being, as we say, a man for others, as Bonhoeffer said. And those who listen and hear, already I should say, you live in a world that is becoming transformed by the power of love and justice. How does it end? You and I don't know, but we can say we turn toward the light, this dazzling light that comes to us in human form, and you will encounter this light in unexpected places if you listen and follow. So I think the story, as strange as it may be, has everything to do with who we are, who we may yet become, and for the very transfiguration of this world in which we live. And maybe that's enough to start. Maybe that's enough we need to know. And maybe Dame Julian and the women mystics and all the others who've given witness by their lives and their suffering and their magnificent victories, that all of those people are walking with us as witnesses. So, happy Transfiguration Sunday, whatever you make of it.